I'm George Stevens, and I'm a person. I was held as property as a child. Even before my birth, I was called a slave in an America you wouldn't recognize. But folks like you helped me escape north to freedom. And in 1864, I joined the infantry to fight for my country. I fought so all slaves would be recognized as persons, not property. And we won. But today in Colorado, there are still people called property. Children, just like I was. And that America you thought you wouldn't recognize is all around you. And these children are being killed. This November, vote yes on Amendment 62. Amendment 62 declares unborn children persons, not property. And that's the America I fought for. So visit personhoodcolorado.com. And in November, vote yes on 62. It's the right thing to do.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. This year, according to Social Security, the Social Security Administration, will be the first time in 30 years that they spend more money than they take in this year. Now, there was an overhaul of Social Security way back in the early 80s. And this now marks the first year since then. And so what does that mean for people who are depending on Social Security? It means don't depend on Social Security. Ask God for the wisdom, courage, and strength to provide for yourself and your family. And if you pay into the government for Social Security, it's not wrong to receive it back. But socialism is inherently immoral, and it is wrong to advocate for a socialist system where the government takes money from some people and gives it to others. So please don't advocate for welfare, socialism, communism, even our Social Security system. God has authorized the government to provide for criminal justice, national defense, and infrastructure, roads, bridges, waterways, and that is it. That is the limited scope of government, how government has been authorized by God. That's it. But what a tragedy, what a lie to our kids and our grandkids, telling them that they have to foot the bill for our largesse, for Barack Obama's spending like a drunken sailor, and apologies go out to all drunken sailors. For a Barack Obama who is being so irresponsible with the governing of our nation that many of those by the millions who supported him are realizing that they should not have. But it's not as though they had an alternative. Okay. But you don't do wrong, you don't do evil, that good may come of it. So, Social Security, what else is going on? Oh, do you remember those high-profile papers published in the scientific journals in Nature and Science saying that because of man-made global warming, hurricanes are going to be especially ferocious, especially powerful in the coming years? And, of course, they said that after Katrina, right? Of course. And so all over the internet, you have news stories, reports, documentation from official government and university websites charting, for example, here's one example, cyclone activity at a 30-year low. Why do they say cyclone activity? Can't they say hurricane activity? Why do they say why do they do that? I'm asking Russ. Why? Oh, because in the South Pacific, they call them cyclones. Here, we call them hurricanes. There, they call them cyclones. And so they're being politically incorrect and using the foreign term, Well, it's still English, right? Okay. So 30-year low in hurricane activity. That's pretty cool. That's good news, no? And we have this. Speaking of global warming, the United Nations panel that is asking for new taxes needed for a climate fund. Did you hear about that? Let me see if I could excerpt some of this article here. This is Associated Press from Bonn, Germany. Carbon taxes are being considered by a panel of the world's leading economists to raise a staggering $100 billion a year to fight the boogeyman. British economist Nicholas Stern told an international team of boogeyman experts Thursday that government regulation and public money also will be needed to create incentives for private investment in this fight for the very survival of mankind. In short, a new industrial revolution is needed to protect the world from the boogeyman. Boy, they're really true believers. The end is near. Al Gore was photographed standing on a corner, an intersection just off of Times Square, with a long beard and hair that looked like there were maggots in it, and he was holding a sign that said, "The end is near." The end is near. And the other side of his sign said, "Repent. Repent, for the end is near." It's funny how the more things change, the more they stay the same. Yesterday's show, we've gotten wonderful comments about yesterday's show, where Jane Norton, who is running against Ken Buck for U.S. Senate, Jane Norton has tried to drag through the mud Greg Golianski, who's a former board member of Colorado Right to Life, board member in good standing, pro-lifer in good standing, and he's also a vice chair of the Colorado Taxpayers Union, Union of Taxpayers, and he's an advocate for our God-given right to keep and bear arms. And he was railroaded by the Clinton administration, a Democratic prosecutor, Strickland, back in the, just after Columbine. And they brought over 100 charges against him and his employees. And after 3 years, they dropped all the charges, and he did a plea bargain after spending hundreds of thousands of dollars defending himself. And the judge, to punish the prosecutors, sentenced him to probation only for just one day. That's a trip, huh? Probation for one day? I got a more serious sentence from a Denver court when I was convicted for conspiracy to loiter. We had Dave Koppel on the show yesterday, well-known gun rights advocate, talking about Greg Golianski's case. And Dave chuckled when I told him I got a more serious sentence for being convicted in Denver for conspiracy to loiter. And he chuckled. I don't know if he could imagine that I was being serious, but of course I was. And he said, "Wow, I thought most loiterers are just spontaneous. They just all of a sudden decide to loiter." But the system is easily used as a political weapon. The law is so complex. The reason the law is so complex and the reason they say we need lawyers is because the law is used as a weapon against the innocent. If the law were not used as a weapon against the innocent, you wouldn't need lawyers. The reason why lawyers are so popular is because the law is used as a weapon against the innocent. If that were not the case, lawyers would not be needed. All right, what else do we have going on here? Oh, so yesterday's show, and we pointed out that Jane Norton gave lip service to Amendment 62 personhood. Today is the primary. And Scott McGinnis, for example, he said that he wants to be governor running against Dan Mays. Scott McGinnis said he's pro-life. And it was said, "Well, you were a member of Republicans for Choice." And he said, "No, I wasn't."
No, I wasn't. Don't lie about me. And then the media pulls out their letterhead, where he was on their letterhead for years, at one of the leaders of Republicans for Choice. That's back when letterhead was printed, you know, in a print shop. Today, people make it on their home laser printers. So that's Scott McGinnis, who defrauded a friend of $300,000, and he gave it back. And I guess he figured, hey, just because I'm a child-killing liar who defrauds my friends, I gave the money back, so you should trust me to be the governor. I guess that's his reasoning. So then that's for the governor's race, but then in the Senate, there is Jane Norton versus Ken Buck, a prosecutor from Weld County. And Ken Buck was attacked by Jane Norton because of the Greg Goliansky story. And that was just so Jane-like to do that. I mean, come on. Jane Norton makes arguments against unborn children. She argues that she will stand to defend the right of Planned Parenthood and all abortionists to kill various unborn children whom Jane thinks do not deserve her protection as a governing official, that she thinks for some reason they don't have the right to life from God, the God-given right to life. Or the alternative is she thinks, well, they do have the God-given right to life, but I have political ambition and they're standing in my way. So I will advocate killing them because I want to be elected to high government office. And I think it's popular to advocate killing some children. I don't want to appear like an extremist, like I'm against killing all innocent children. You know how that would make me, Jane Norton, look? Make me look like an extremist. And I don't want to appear like an extremist. So even if they have the God-given right to life, I think they're expendable because I want power. And that's gross. That's just gross. It's gross. And in contrast to that, on KHAL Radio, Ken Buck was asked a week ago by Craig Silverman, well, you're against abortion. How about for rape and incest? And Ken Buck said, well, a person cannot be killed because of the crimes of his father. So, no, I'm against abortion for rape and incest. So that was pretty cool. Okay. It's neat. We're hearing that more and more. We're hearing it in the Arizona governor's race. We're hearing it around the country. You don't kill the baby for the crimes of his father. That's pretty neat. And there are a handful of Christian pro-lifers who have been explaining that for many years, and because it's true, it's catching on. Because it's true. Because the world, you know, the world is really easy at twisting reality, but there's a certain power to truth. And eventually, truth wins out. Eventually. I mean, for a lot of truth, it won't be until the Lord returns, but eventually truth wins out. All right, so great show yesterday. If you missed it, you could see on kgov.com, our website, the YouTube video that we aired the audio of yesterday. And I noticed after we aired this, it was pretty cool because the YouTube views of this Greg Goliansky story shot up dramatically. And so they'll probably continue to rise. And it's quite a story. And if Jane Norton says she endorses, she supports Amendment 62. She says that. And on her website, it says that she advocates the killing of some children. So what's with that? All right. What else is in the news? Oh, tomorrow, every Saturday morning and Wednesday evening, if you're in the Denver metro area, I invite you to come on out and work with me on the Amendment 62 campaign. Here's what we're doing. Everybody could do something, right? You go to mycampaigntracker.org. That website answers the question, what can I do to help? What can I do to help? And no one makes a greater mistake than he who does nothing because he thinks he can only do a little. That's a huge disaster. So just because you think you could only do a little, don't let that move you to do nothing. So what we're doing is we are distributing literature, and this is fun. We did this. I did a precinct with a few friends, and it was so fun. I thought, well, I'm going to do this every Saturday morning at 7:30. Meet folks at a McDonald's in Arvada at Kipling and 58th. And so we did it. We had 10 people come out Saturday morning, and we had such a good time fellowshipping at McDonald's, then walk in a neighborhood, and we bring the flyers and door hangers and the maps so everybody knows. We go together, we divide up the neighborhood into sections, and so then you walk your section, and then we meet back at the McDonald's for coffee. So we're going to do it also every Wednesday evening at 5:30. We're going to leave that same McDonald's. So do you think you might want to join us? The flyers that we're distributing are so powerful. They're the Amendment 62 Talking Points flyer. You could see them online at the Campaign Tracker. Just go to mycampaigntracker.org, and you will see the click on Do a Literature Drop, and you'll see the flyers. And they're just gorgeous, too. And they're powerful. And they're persuasive. They are persuasive. And so we distribute these, and then the precinct, when we're done, somebody in the group, we think, okay, who would like the points? Because on the campaign tracker, you get points. Say, who'd like the points for this precinct? And somebody says, well, I would. And so then they go home and they enter on the tracker that they did the literature drop for this precinct. So the precinct turns purple and they get points. It's cool. And you get anywhere from 20 to 50 to 70 points for a lit drop. And your precinct, once it gets 100 points, it's completely purple. So it's just so much fun. So every Saturday morning at 7:30, I would be thrilled if you come on out and join me. We'll walk in neighborhood. We'll have a good time. We bring the maps, and then we look. We see how many people we have. We say, okay, who wants to work with who? We break up in twos, and we go to the neighborhood, and we write on the maps. I'm holding one right here in my hand. Does that sound like a good map? That's a good. Listen to this map. This is a good map. And we write on them and we say, okay, you take those cul-de-sacs there. And you guys, you take these streets here. And I'll take this over here with a friend. And one of my kids wants to do this area. So, hey, Pops, could you do that area with Michael? Yeah, Pops will do that area. We had 10 people. And after we got done, we met back at McDonald's for coffee. And people said, hey, we don't want to wait a week. Let's do it again. So we decided we'll do it also on Wednesdays. And so I'm encouraging you. Now, if you want to eat or get a coffee and fellowship, you could get there at 5 o'clock at that McDonald's. If that's too early and you could just get there at 5:30, well, then do that. Come at 5:30. And depending on how many people we get, we'll do one precinct or more every Saturday, every Wednesday. And guess what? Let's say you live too far to do that, but you want to do precincts in your town. If you want to set up a once-a-week precinct literature drop, you contact Colorado Right to Life, and you tell them where and what day of the week and what time, and then Colorado Right to Life will add you to their schedule online so that other people might see it and come and join you. And you invite your friends and your family, your church members. You say, come on out and join me. It's going to be fun. And then you do it. And you start to turn your city purple. And it's really enjoyable. So if you want information, you could go to our site, KGOV, KGOV.com, and look at the information right at the top. By the way, did you hear Friday's show, Real Science Friday? Man, that show was so fun. Now, I do want to let the audience in on something. I don't think anybody would know this, right? Would anybody know what we did Friday after the show? The people who listened to the show live, they wouldn't know. And the people who listened to the show online, they wouldn't know. But I think I'll tell them. Should I tell them? Is it like letting out an inside secret? A smoke-filled back room kind of deal? No, it's okay. When the show was over, this was with Kevin Lee, who it was with the Navy and their nuclear program, and he's got a technical background. And I love talking to Kevin about science. He's been monitoring earthquakes daily for 10 years, and for 5 years, he's been creating his own database, daily 5-year database of earthquake activity as reported by the USGS, Geological Society. And after the show was done, as I often do with guests, I, you know, picked up the phone to say, Kevin, thanks for doing the show. Look forward to doing another show. And he said, Bob, I think we were way too technical for radio. I don't think it worked. And I said, well, Kevin, you know, I think it was a bit too technical myself. And so after, you know, that night and over the weekend, I asked people who had listened to the show, and they said, yeah. And they said, I thought it was me. Some people said, I thought it was me. I had a hard time following it. So what we did right after the show was we did it again. We did it again, and we recorded it. And halfway through the show, there was an electric storm, a thunderstorm, where our studio is in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. And all the power went out, and the whole local grid power went out, and we lost the show. So good thing we had cell phones. And so we called Kevin Lee back and said, Kevin, third time's a charm. You want to go for it again? And he said, sure. He's such a good sport. And we did the show 3 times. And so we uploaded the show the third time we did that Real Science Friday show. That's what we uploaded, and it's really fun. And it's titled How Earthquakes Gave Us a 365-Day Year. How Earthquakes Gave Us a 365-Day Year, and Why Did Civilizations on Earth Go from a 360-Day Calendar to 365? And Why Did Early Mathematicians Divide a Circle into 360 Degrees? Why? It's all interesting. It's all fun. And so that new and improved Real Science Friday show is now online. Hey, did we violate any federal regulations by doing that? Like FCC rules? Federal Communication Commission? Probably. We probably violated some FCC rules by broadcasting one show and uploading a new and improved version. But I think 60 Minutes, haven't they done that for decades now? They'll do an interview, and then they cut it in such a way to make the conservative Christian say the opposite of what he actually said, and then they air that. Yeah, I think they've been doing that for years. Okay. So, by the way, if you have any questions about our weekly gatherings, you could call us here at 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Let us know if you're going to come on out tomorrow night, 5:30, or Saturday morning, 7:30. Also, we have the brand new Focus on the Strategy 3 DVD. So now we have a series. And this series, I tell you, the first DVD won an award from Missionaries to the Preborn. They put in their newsletter that it was the DVD of the century. That's something, huh? DVD of the century. And then we came out with Focus on the Strategy 2, and that just rocked the pro-life movement and is a major factor in the support for personhood all over the country. And now Focus on the Strategy 3. And so all three are available. And it's a trilogy, and it's a lot of fun. I think you'll love it. Okay, were we out of news? We talked about this, a first year of Social Security will spend more than it takes in. Cyclone activity at a 30-year low after predictions to the exact opposite predictions in Nature and Science. UN panel says we need carbon taxes to fight the boogeyman. What else is in the news? Oh, yeah, the American Family Association is angry at CBS for a new sitcom that has a cuss word in the title of the sitcom. Blank, you know, blank, and then the rest of the title. And the Parents Television Council, they're also upset. And so these groups are urging advertisers, they're saying, unless you wish to associate your brand with excrement, we urge you not to advertise on this CBS show. You know, CBS, they do care about money. They hate children. They like to increase the degree to which children become vulgar. They like that. You know, they love it. They love children becoming sexualized and vulgar. So at our home, we monitor everything our kids watch, everything. And as a general rule, they don't watch broadcast TV. And when we do watch something with them, like we recorded a Charlie Brown movie from 40 years ago, that's fun. But when we do watch shows with them, we monitor the commercials and fast forward through the commercials. It couldn't happen to a nicer bunch of people, could it, to Hollywood? What's happening? They've spent decades telling young people, if it feels good, do it. There's no such thing as right or wrong. And so young people now are robbing them of billions of dollars a year by trading, downloading movies and music for free. Billions of dollars a year they're losing. After they spent decades saying there's no such thing as right or wrong, there's no accountability to a holy God. Question authority, if it feels good, do it. And so millions of young people, they were paying attention. And they said, you know what? We don't care if you make less money. We're going to take this music for free. We're going to take these movies for free. It couldn't have happened to a nicer bunch of people. And then we're about out of time. Do you see what Tariq Aziz said in Iraq? That just cracks me up. He was Barack Obama's spokesman. And he's mad at America. But he says, when you make a mistake, you need to correct the mistake. America, do not leave Iraq. He's against Barack Obama's pullout from Iraq. Is that hysterical? Saddam Hussein's number one right-hand man, the second most powerful person in Iraq, Tariq Aziz, says the U.S. military should not pull out of Iraq. And he says, if we do, we will be leaving Iraq to its death. He said that from his jail cell. Is that funny or what? That's just a crack up. All right. This is Bob Enyard. Our website is kgov.com. Please check out our Bible study albums on CD or downloadable. And our DVDs, topical DVDs, and the Bob Enyard Live Televised Classics. It's all a lot of fun, and you encourage our whole team when you go to our website.